Hi, this is Dark Journalist with an important update to the Nixon ET time capsule story. Now, we released the exclusive interview with former Nixon undercover operative Robert Merritt on February 14th, 2018, in which he revealed his three meetings at the White House with President Nixon. He stated that Nixon had told him of scientists working with an advanced off-world being at Los Alamos, and how they obtained an extraordinary formula that would make the United States energy independent and guarantee a global step forward for humanity. He told Merritt that he was planning to make it public, but that Watergate had changed his plans. Now he was going to leave it in a time capsule, hidden in the White House for future generations, and to redeem his image as a great leader for opening China, Russia, and managing the top national security secret of the United States, the UFO file. He instructed Merritt to carry a copy of the special message to his national security advisor, Henry Kissinger. Merritt said Kissinger was the only one Nixon trusted with the top secret information. New information uncovered by veteran ufologist Grant Cameron shows that author Bill Steinman had conversations with Mrs. Wang, the widow of Eric Wang, who worked on the re-engineering of UFO material. Steinman was stunned when she informed him that Kissinger was in charge of the UFO research as part of the Rockefeller Special Studies Project from 1956 to 1960. Kissinger's role working with the UFO file coincides with Nixon's handling of the CIA Blue Book study on UFOs that went much further than the official Blue Book reports. During his political crisis in 1972, Nixon was making sure his partner in UFO secrecy was going to receive a copy of the special time capsule message with the energy formula. Today we have Robert Merritt with us for what he calls his final interview. Although his health is delicate, he's agreed to go over his third and most crucial meeting with President Nixon, where Nixon read the special time capsule message to him to create a witness to history and to Nixon's claim of being the UFO disclosure president over 45 years ago. Today we'll go deep into the heart of the UFO file and Nixon's ET time capsule with former undercover operative Robert Merritt. Let's get started. Robert, it's great to have you back with us.
Well, it's good to be back, Daniel.
Now, I'm sure you're aware that our interview from last month has achieved thousands of views on YouTube and was featured on Coast to Coast AM and scores of independent media outlets. You're really opening up people's eyes to something that was always hidden in relation to Nixon and the UFO file, and we're all very excited about this development. So first, I want to thank you for coming forward.
Well, thank you for allowing me to reveal it for the first time in over 50-some years.
It's an amazing story, and one of the key elements to your testimony are these three meetings that you had with President Nixon deep beneath the White House. It's interesting to note here that you had a brief encounter with Nixon before you had those three meetings. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, it was... I was riding my bike from home. I lived about a block from DuPont Circle, and the DuPont Circle is the park in Washington, D.C., where everybody gathered, from the Black Panthers to the Republicans, the Democrats, the gays. I mean, you name it, it was there. Down the street, you could see the monuments, and Connecticut Avenue, which was on DuPont Circle itself. Connecticut joined like about eight different streets, and it led directly into the White House. So I was only maybe like about by car about 10 minutes from the White House, and during the time I could probably walk there in about 20 minutes.
Okay.
But yes, I was out riding my bike one day, and I had stopped at the corner of Massachusetts Avenue Northwest and DuPont Circle, and I was crossing over on the light. There was a motorcade coming down the street, about six cars, and I thought they had all passed. And I was looking down, wasn't paying any attention, and I moved my bike out to this, just a couple of feet from the curb, and I was struck by one of the limbs where the tire was struck, not me, to my bike. And the bike fell down, and the way I was holding it, I fell over on top of the bike. And before I knew it, I mean, I was surrounded by all these men with dark suits on and sunglasses with guns drawn on me. I thought, oh, what the hell? I mean, this is what I get for jaywalking or crossing the street against the light. And I'm still laying there, and they didn't say a word. They just were standing there. And then within moments, the car door opened up, and a big, huge man came out and put his hand up to help me up. And it was the president.
Wow.
And I was totally shocked. And he asked me if I was okay, and if I wanted to go to a hospital, if I need any repair done to my bike or anything. I said, no, I'm fine. I said, I can take care of my bike. That was that. That was actually the very first meeting with the president. He shook my hand and we left.
Oh, that's amazing. Were you in shock?
I was totally shocked. I was shocking in all of us. I really was.
Yeah, well, I think it was an interesting kind of destiny ringing a bell there. And it certainly was a foreshadowing of events that were going to happen.
Yes, well, you know, they say the DuPont Circle itself was a magnet for all different types of people. And, of course, the way that my life ran with destiny and fate. But then it led up to something bigger that I had never expected in my life, and that was those three meetings with the president.
Absolutely. Quite a destiny there. Now, I know we've gone over in our interviews the meetings with President Nixon and how he would send someone to get you after midnight and drive you to the White House and how you would meet him there deep beneath the White House, and he would give you assignments to carry out related to the Houston plan. What I'd like to do now is have you take us into that crucial third meeting, which happened after Watergate. And the President Nixon you discovered this time was not the same one you'd met before. He was clearly upset at the prospect of being removed from office, but he told you he wanted you to listen as he was going to read aloud a very important letter, a special message to the American people.
Yes, it was laying under his newspaper. He took the newspaper off and he pulled it out of a manila envelope, a large manila envelope. He read it to me, and then he showed me, he turned the letter around, and he splashed the letter, and I could see two red lines on there, and some type of scientific code symbols or whatever it was.
Right, and when we've discussed this, you've said it was a formula that the U.S. had obtained working with an off-world being and our scientists at Los Alamos, and was so important it could, among other things, make us energy independent. Now, can you tell us here what President Nixon said to you about this formula?
He said that whoever possesses this letter, or if they are able to decipher this code, then he said they could destroy the entire Earth and mankind forever. He said it's vitally important. He said, did you get this letter over to Kissinger? He said, there's no one I can trust but you. You've done everything I've asked you to do. He said, and you've never betrayed me. I've never heard back from anybody saying that well, Robert Merritt said this, Robert did this behind your back. He said, it's never happened.
Right.
And, I mean, can you imagine him being the president of the United States as to how many, what means he had to have watched me during this time? I'm sure that I had eyes on me the whole time.
Yeah, no question. So at a certain point, he decides to read this letter to the American people out loud to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentions a being that they've had in custody for two decades. Now, did he specify how many there were?
One.
One. And he tells you the being is from Planet X.
Yes, he did. He did mention Planet X.
Okay.
Let me clarify that, please, by the way. He said that we believe that they are from Planet X.
Okay, right. And just based on what you've told me, he said over time they had learned to communicate with it. Now, did he say how?
They found the means. I don't know if it was mental telepathy. I don't know if it was done by the hands. I don't know if it was pictures or drawings or what. But, yes, they didn't explain it to me, nor did he explain what I don't like using the word creature. I mean, it could have been something human like us or composed like us.
Right, yeah.
May have had a body, a soul, I guess. I don't know. I mean, however it got there, whatever it was, God created it, I assume. I do believe in God. I believe everything that was created by God, everything in the universe.
Mm-hmm. And it's clear he's showing you this formula, and he's saying they've deciphered this under his administration.
He didn't say that, but at the same time, he seemed to be taking credit for that, yes.
I see what you're saying. Now, would you say that his disposition was better, that he felt better about his place in history because of this?
Yes, yes, yes. And he said, it will not vindicate me. He says, but he said, I think that once it's revealed that I will be vindicated as not being the bad or the worst disgraceful president, he said, as people are trying to make me be, he said, but if this is exposed, he said, and done the right way and for the better of mankind throughout the entire world, he said, every living creature, he said, then, he said, I think that they will give me credit as being one of the greatest presidents in history.
Right. Now, let's look at the document here for a moment. You said it was written in his own hand. And can you remember the paper itself? You know, was it normal paper? Describe it for us here.
It was plain white paper. He did write it on presidential paper, though.
Okay.
It had the seal. It had the seal in the center of the page at the top. But other than that, it was just plain white paper.
Okay. And you said it was his handwriting. And when he read it to you, he said, don't ask any questions.
Yes.
Now, did you get the impression your meeting was being taped?
I don't know. I mean, I wondered that myself. And I thought if he has the ability to do it, he would have done that before the door opened up. I heard he liked to tape everything, so I just don't know.
Right, so we can say it wasn't obvious in any case.
No.
Now, he gives you a private letter to deliver to Henry Kissinger along with this one, but then he mentions he's also going to hide this letter in the White House, that he's going to preserve this truth for the American people as a time capsule.
Yes.
Can you tell me what he said about it?
Yes, but his exact words was, he said, Robert, he said, you are the living time capsule. And he said, if you have problems, he said, as to where you think that you're going to be very sick or in an automobile accident or anything, that you're near death and you're able to tell it, he says, then do so. But he said, you cannot tell them much. He says, but what they want to see, what they want to hear, he says, is in this letter. So whatever I'm doing now is what the president actually wanted me to do. And that's why I waited all these years.
Hmm.
If I had told about this to Douglas Caddy and to other people years ago when they were writing my book, it might have been a good seller.
Right.
But, you know, I wanted to tell the truth, Daniel. I wanted to tell the truth and only the truth. I haven't made hardly any money from anywhere for doing anything. I've never been paid for a show.
Mm-hmm.
My whole life, 53 years, have been dedicated to law enforcement and to the president.
Well, I think the point is clear that you haven't profited off of coming forward. Even when you let some information out about Watergate in your 2010 book, it didn't go so well.
No.
Now, Nixon targeting some time in the future for this time capsule to come out is powerful.
Yes.
He told you if you felt like it was time, you could bring this forward.
That was his wishes. I assured him, gave him a solemn promise. As I've taken an oath of loyalty to him and to a national security and to the people of this country. Yes, I did promise that faithfully under the oath of God that I would do it. And that was it. He believed me and had no reason not to.
He trusted you with this information.
Oh, absolutely. There was a great trust between the two of us. I mean, we were like, I don't know how to explain it. I mean, I knew he was a president of the United States, and he knew I was just a nobody. But the thing is there was a trust. There was sort of a pal-ship between the two of us.
So there was a very special rapport between the two of you.
Oh, yes, yes, there was. Yes, a down-to-earth, genuine rapport. Yes, there was.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's turn our attention to the fact that Nixon believed that the time capsule, with the ET formula that would make America energy independent and leaps and bounds ahead of other nations and also bring peace to the world, would be discovered. He sounds almost beyond confident in your recollection. Can you share some of that here? How did he know the letter would be discovered?
Where he put the letter, he said it would be discovered in due time, at the proper time. What he meant by that, I don't know. It's almost like he I had somebody that was just going to walk in one day and say, okay, here it is, and bring it out, and here's the letter from the President of the United States, former President of the United States. I'm not saying that's what he had planned. I'm just saying that he gave me the impression that it was going to be discovered in his way, his means.
So he clearly expected it was going to surface, with or without you.
Yes.
But we're going to understand it now when it comes forward because he told you about it, and you've told us about your meeting. Now, when you've kept this secret over the years, did you ever think that there was someone out there besides Kissinger who may also know about the time capsule message?
You know, I can't help but to believe that everything I'm telling you and telling the public is not unknown to other people.
Fascinating. And we do know that your revelations about this only hit the public right here on this program on February 14th.
Yes.
So you're referring to possibly some other Nixon insider besides Kissinger. So my main question for you is this. Do you believe now that the time capsule message is still there?
Yes, I do.
Now, Robert, your confidence factor on this seems very high.
100%, because, well, 99.99, because, you know, unless somebody found it by mistake or by luck, I think the letter would have been exposed maybe to the media, to the public, some sort of way. I don't think that whoever had their hands on it would have kept the secret.
Right.
I don't care who was in office. I don't care if Bush, Obama, Trump, any of the past presidents were in office. If they, any of their people or the presidents themselves found it, I think they would have divulged it. I think they would have authenticated it, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But then once they authenticated, they would have known that it definitely was the president's handwriting. No one could have put it there but the president. And that they would have understood his message loud and clear.
So what you're saying is Nixon was just clever enough to hide it in such a way so it would take decades to find.
Yes.
Now, Robert, I only have a few questions left for you, but when you think back to that final meeting with Nixon, can you give us some idea of the atmosphere in that room?
It was solemn. He was depressed. He made me extremely depressed when I realized what was happening, which was instantly, when he had his hands on his over his eyes. Directly in front of him was that newspaper, the Washington Post. And then the first comments he made was about how his days was numbered. And he knew what the reality was, that he was about ready to be put down at any time, or in time, rather.
Did he ever smile in that meeting?
Only at the end. Only at the end, when he gave me a hug for the last time. And when he did, I started crying. And he said, cheer up, stop. He said, I'm your president. He's ordering you. Stop.
Yeah. Robert, you know, I made a note here that he gave you a handkerchief.
The handkerchief had the initial N up in the corner of it.
Just take your time.
It's all right. I'm all right. It was just a white handkerchief with, I don't know how it was done. I guess embroidered, maybe just the end with, like, fig leaves or something around the end.
And he gave you this handkerchief.
He wiped my face with it, and he stuck it in my pocket.
Wow. Robert, when you look back at the impact that Nixon had on you and your life, how do you see it now?
I think he was one of the greatest presidents that we ever had, and people took completely advantage of him and the intelligence and the charisma that he had. It's sad that what happened because he indicated to me that he wanted to reveal what he gave me about the contents in that letter prior to Watergate happening, and he was getting ready to.
So he was preparing UFO disclosure in 1972, but Watergate happened instead.
That stopped him cold. He said, I can't bring it up now. He said, it has to be a time capsule. He said, if I do it now, he said, they're only going to think that I'm trying to pat people on their butts. He says, to think that I'm going to soften them up pieces because of this grace pieces that they put me in. He said, even though it's a very powerful message, he says, but this second-rate burglary, he says, is destroying, he says, the President of the United States. And he said, I don't know why they would do this to me.
So Watergate really stopped him from doing it.
Yes. Watergate and then all the enemies that came out on both sides, both parties, Democrats and Republicans. Yes, he mentioned that too.
Did he seem hopeful about when it did come out that he'd be redeemed somehow?
Yes, he did. He said that it would take a few years.
He was trusting you with some major presidential-level secrets. What do you think of that?
The things that he asked me to keep secret, other than the location of the letter, were things that people will hear about in the letter itself once it's discovered, or what's in those tapes. I don't know what's in those tapes. I don't know if those tapes are being made public or not.
Mm-hmm.
I got more or less the impression those tapes were something intended only for Kissinger's ears, and he would know exactly what to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't know.
Okay, and again, we're referring here to the two cassette tapes Nixon gave you in the package to deliver to Kissinger. Now, they certainly could have been instructions for a worldwide broadcast about the ET energy formula, but I guess I should ask you here, if you could say something to Kissinger, if he were listening now, what would you like to say to him?
I admire you. I love you because the President loved you. And if there's something that you have and the things that was mailed to your home, if you think the time is appropriate and you think that it should be divulged, then you're the best judge of it, sir. It's your decision, and you had the personal, intimate relationship with the President of the United States. And I do know, despite whatever conflicts that you and the President had, that he loved you very much and respected you the highest.
Absolutely. Robert, do you, upon reflection on all this, think the time capsule message will come forward?
I can't answer that, Daniel, because I don't know what plans that the President had to make it come forward. I'm assuming that if there's somebody out there listening and your message gets set forth, if somebody in mainstream media picked up your show and put this out, then, you know, it would be maybe one of those people would be the person who knows to come out now that I've talked, I've revealed what I've had to do, I've done my job.
Right.
And maybe it's time for them to come out and to do their job, because I am convinced that there is a second person involved, possibly a third person involved.
Okay.
That's the only way I can really answer this, and that, of course, is based on just my assumption, but I do believe it very strongly.
So you think there's someone out there who also knows about the time capsule location?
How else could it possibly surface, unless there is? I mean, the President is dead. He's dead. He didn't leave a letter in his estate, I'm sure.
It's an excellent point. Robert, in putting out the info about the time capsule message that President Nixon left behind for UFO disclosure, do you feel now that you've discharged your duty?
Yes, I do. I do. I really do. Thanks to you, Daniel. Thanks to you.
Well, we all appreciate your courage in coming forward and bringing this vital information out that was not in the public sphere and which you've shared with all of us. It takes a lot of guts, and the viewers of Dark Journalists thank you.
Well, but it's very hard to speak, Daniel, sometimes. It's hard for me to even talk to you with the pain that's shooting up through my body from my toes literally to my head that's obviously being eaten up with cancer.
Well, it's an incredible super effort on your part, and it shows a lot of character, really.
You know what? I've never wanted to be presented with a halo over my head because I don't wear one. I wear horns up there. I committed some of the most nefarious deeds at the behest, at the request of our government that you could possibly imagine.
Uh-huh. Well, how do you feel about that looking back now?
You know, I regret those things now. At the time, I didn't, because I was told I'm doing this for God and country.
Well, Robert, you've put a lot on the record here in our interview series. You've revealed a number of secret things. How do you feel about going public with all this now?
Nice or not, I told you the truth. I told you the whole truth. But that's the nice part about me. But on the other hand, my past, I wore horns, not a halo. So I have no problem with those people who criticize me.
Well, I've seen some really overwhelming support for you, helping to bring transparency to something, the UFO file, something that was always hidden. My last question for you today, Robert, what kind of an outcome would you like to see for all of this opening up about working secretly for President Nixon?
I hope to God that the president's real time capsule, the letter itself, will come out, but also to understand what I've said and what I've tried to do in helping the people in this country. The FBI, the CIA would do anything possible to stop somebody like me from telling what I'm saying. And coming directly from a president of the United States, especially over the ET and the UFO programs that's going on, what they have inside those laboratories. I believe that.
So you've put yourself on the line more than once by getting these powerful truths on the record.
I have no fear of death, but death itself, what happens afterwards is what I fear, not death. But that was always part of being a CI, that I knew I could be killed at any time. And so the fear of fear, I lost it many years ago. I have no such feeling in my body anymore.
Well, Robert, being a confidential informant in that covert world is something only a few people are cut out for. And I think we've learned a great deal from you today about President Nixon's wish that his time capsule message of UFO disclosure and the ET energy formula can come forward. I want to thank you and wish you good health, and hopefully we'll talk soon.
Daniel, thank you for allowing me to come on and to get this truth out. And people, I love you and God bless you. And thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Robert. Nicely done. Thank you for joining me, everyone. Remember to go to darkjournalist.com for updates on this remarkable story of Nixon's ET time capsule. Subscribe to the newsletter to stay updated on all the exciting shows we have coming your way. And join me this Friday for a YouTube live stream at 7 p.m. Eastern. I'll also post the live stream details on Twitter @darkjournalist and facebook.com/darkjournalist. See you soon.